But this word, but God, when it comes into a life, when it comes into your situation, when it comes into my life, it literally changes everything that superseded it. I don't care what's going on in your life. I don't care what's going on in your life. When you insert this, but God, it changes. It's like one of these paintings where you see this little cabin in the woods and or a little house in the woods with snow all over it. It's dark at night and everything's pitch black. But then if the artist will just take a little dab of yellow paint and just paint the windows yellow, it's like the warmth, the fire inside. It changes the darkness to light. And so I'm going to talk to you about a few of these this morning, and then we're going to pray. And I've got a really special treat for you that I like, and I think you're going to like it too. We'll see it toward the end. These two little words, but God said, let them step into your life today. And especially this week, whenever the situation is tough, whenever the situation looks hopeless, whenever it looks tiring, whenever you're about to give up, let these two little words step into your life, but God. When the odds are against you, when there's no way out, when it looks like they've said the last rites over, whatever it may be, everybody say it with me, but God. Now look at Genesis chapter 31. Jacob is talking to his wife, and he had a father-in-law named Laban. Now most of you have got great father-in-laws. I had a pretty good father-in-law with Samuel Doctorian. But some of you may have had some relatives and married into some relatives that may not be the best. And you may be dealing with problems. And Laban was Jacob's father-in-law. And Laban was a swindler. He swindled his brother. How many know you had to be pretty dirty to swindle your own daughter and your own son-in-law? Come on, somebody. Can I get an amen in this Louisiana town? And your father has cheated me and changed my wages 10 times. However, the translation I wanted, not the New American. It says, but God. Everybody say, but God. We need check our translations. It's just a New American Standard. Not the NASB, But your father cheated me and changed my wages. And the translation says, but God. Everybody say, but God. But God did not allow it. God did not allow it. And so wouldn't everybody say, but God? Would you say, but God, one more time? So no matter how much Jacob's father-in-law schemed against him, it made no difference when there's a but God. Say that one more time. We say, but God. Jacob allowed these two little words to enter into his life. Has somebody cheated you lately? Has somebody taken advantage of you lately? Has anybody swindled you lately in all of your rebuilding? Come on, somebody. Everybody say, but God. They can do what they want to do because he cheated him. He did lie to him. He cheated him and schemed against him and did all those things. And at the end of the day, Jacob let these two little words enter into his life. But God. I don't care what they've done, what they've taken, what they've not taken. Jacob learned, but God. Joseph kind of said the same thing when Joseph around. He said, as for you, you meant evil against me. But everybody say this next two words. But God. Everybody say, but God. See, you remember the story. Jacob came from a very dysfunctional family where there were many sons from different mothers. And in those days, they had a harem and he had a lot of wives. And so these brothers were from different mothers. And so there was two or three from this mom, a couple here, one from that mom. And so they had all different parents and the same dad. And the Bible says jealousy broke out amongst them. Anybody ever experienced any jealousy amongst your family? And so there comes some stuff taking place. And so the Bible says they sold him. You know the story. They sold him into slavery. They're going to kill him. And one of the brothers, Judah, talked to him, don't kill him. Let's just sell him, make some money off of him. They sell him in. He gets put down in as a slave. He puts into Egypt. He gets raised up in a house. He gets accused falsely of sexual misconduct. He's thrown in jail for a decade, a long time. And he's in jail a long time. And then he gets cheated by some of the guys he helps in the prison. He helps some of the prisoners. They don't forget about him. All this and that. And then he gets raised up. And listen, he had every right to be ended up in life a bitter man. A man that was cynical. A man that didn't believe in family. A man that didn't, you know, just cut his family off. And no more dealing with my eyes. Had enough of my family. He could have gotten bitter. He could have gotten cynical. He could have gotten to where he just lived a sheltered life where he just cut everybody off. But he let these two little words come into his life. But, everybody say it with me, but God. You turn back, put that scripture back up, would you? He says, "You, as for you, you meant evil against me." I'm not watering it down. I know exactly your attitude and your conduct and your character. I know what you did against me. But God, meant it for good in order to bring about. See, not just good for me. It was hard 10 years. It was a hard, I forgot how many decades it was, from the time he was sold, the time he was thrown in that pit, until the day these boys come, his brothers come back. It's decades. I think it was 20 or 30 years. Decades go by. And the Bible says he looks at them, and instead of being a bitter old man, he looks at them and says, "You meant it for evil, but God." Let me tell you what but God will do. But God will keep all the bitterness out of your heart. But God will keep all the accusations. But God, did she come to the place where, hey, yeah, that's going on. They meant evil. Yeah, they did. I'm not whitewashing what they did. They did it for evil. But God. God's in the middle of this thing. God can make it. God can turn it out. God can use it for good. Everybody say, but God, one more time, would you? I love that. You may feel like they've cheated me, abused me, used me, lied to me. You know, whatever it may be. Watch this little video. I like this little video I got for you. Watch this.
Tattered, torn, scattered, scorned, thrusted into chaos the day I was born. Just a misfit, destined to be a statistic. Shattered, but what does it matter? They want me to be in sync with the pattern of a victim. Perpetually positioned in a self-envisioned prison, frozen. Imprisoned by our past, we don't ever get the present tense. It's evident we are ships with no sail to catch the wind, and we heard about God but don't think he could let us in, because our whole life the world shut us out, and love is foreign towards us. We don't understand, so we doubt, but God changes everything. The pain, it settles, and we don't remain as the abused adolescent, or confused with depression and used as a weapon of self-destruction. His grace conducts a better scene, because God changes everything. Hurt to healing, shame to salvation. They said victory is something we would never see, but God changes everything.
I'm Herbert Cooper, and but God is my life story. I was sexually abused at the age of 13 in the very house that's behind me. My parents were divorced. I grew up with addictions and bondage, but God changes everything. I would be a statistic today, but God. I would be in prison today, but God. I would be bitter and angry, but God. I would have lost my mind, but God. I believe my story is your story, and that is, but God changes everything.
Everybody say amen. Give a good clap. You know, when you let but God comes into your life, you know what happens? You begin to understand that all things work together for the good. 1 Corinthians 10 and 13 says it this way. No temptation, in some translations right, but no problems have overtaken you, but such as is common to man. Everybody say, but God. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted or troubles beyond what you're able, but with the trouble will provide the way of escape. Also, you may be able to endure it. You know, when you understand that there's a but God in everything, let me tell you what your problems do. Number one, it directs you. Everybody say direct. It directs us. And that means that sometimes God allow a problem like Joseph to direct him. It directed his life where God wanted him. He said, you meant it for evil, but God directed me down to Egypt to save the whole world. Had he not been in Egypt, he could not have saved the whole world like he did. And so God used that problem. And so he looked back over his life and he says, you meant it for evil, but it was God's fire under me to get me where I needed to be. I wasn't. So direct us. Second thing is to inspect. Have God inspect you? Ever had God inspect you? Not only will he direct you, but he'll inspect you at times. It takes a fire sometimes to bring out. It's like, I'll tell you this, tea bags, you're no good unless you're in hot water. It tells what's inside of you. Number three is it's correcting. You ever need correcting in your life? God will use it to correct us. Sometimes you think you're all right until you learn, I'm not right, they're right. It can connect us. How many of you are connected right now with some people you weren't connected with before? How many of you got people living in your house that wasn't living in your house before? How many are living in somebody else's house you'd never lived in their house before? So God uses things like this to connect us, then to protect us. You ever been protected by something that you didn't like? And then next thing you know, you looked and you said, well, thank God. I mean, one time my mom and dad punished me. We were going across the mountain on a Friday night with some of my buddies. And we were going across the mountain, and I sassed off or did something during the day. And so my mom grounded me that night. I was spitting nails, da-da-da. But you know, that car flipped. And my buddies, they flipped on a mountain icy road that night, and two of them were permanently maimed in their life. God will use some situation to protect you sometimes. And then the last thing is to project you. Everybody say project. Sometimes God will use these things to project. I mean, the church in Jerusalem, Jesus, the last words to the church was, go ye into all the world. Go into Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the utmost parts of the world. Go. And you look and you start reading the book of Acts, and guess what happened? None of them went. They all sat right there in their seats in Jerusalem. They loved it. They were enjoying each other. They were seeing miracles and people were getting saved. But they weren't going anywhere. And so God looks down and says, Jesus looked down and said, I thought the last words I said, go ye into all the world. Into Judea, into Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the utmost part. And they weren't going anywhere. Guess what happened? Persecution hit the church. And guess what happened when persecution hit the church? Show, they ran like rats out of a sinking ship and spread throughout. Come on, somebody. So he'll use that to project you sometimes. God will do this. You got to understand that God uses things. Jasmine doesn't like my Canadian bird story, but I tell it every once in a while. I'm going to tell it again. There was a Canadian bird one time, and he decided not to fly south for the winter. He said, I've had enough of this. I can do this. It's not that bad. Somewhere about December, he realizes he'd made the wrong choice. So he flops up and gets in the air current and starts flying from Canada going south for the winter. And it starts raining and it's freezing temperatures. And all of a sudden, all of his ice, his wings ice up. He gets heavier and heavier. And finally, he can't even fly anymore. He's almost frozen solid. He plops down in a barnyard. And he's there and he can't even move. He's in a barnyard. And then a big cow comes over, steps right on top, right over him, and drops a plop right on him. And he thinks in his mind, I'm dying, and now I'm going to die in a mound of plop. He said, how bad can life be? And then all of a sudden he realized he's feeling warm. Am I getting too deep for you here? Is it? And then he starts, well, the ice began to melt, and he began to feel revived in his heart. So he began to sing a song just as the joy of his heart. And a barnyard cat heard it and came over and began to lick the stuff off of him and then ate him. The moral of the story is this. Not everyone who drops a plop on you is your enemy. Not everybody who takes it off is your friend. And when somebody drops a plop on you, shut your mouth. Come on, somebody. All right, let's move on. Psalm 73 says it this way. My heart and my flesh may fail, but everybody say, but God. So you may be so tired right now, you don't know what to do. You may feel so defeated, you don't know what to do. He says, my flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. My flesh and my heart may fail, but, everybody say, but God one more time. When you're failing and you've gone to the end of your strength, but God. I like this one in Peter, Acts chapter 10 and verse 28. Here's another but God. He said to them, you are well aware that it's against our law for a Jew to associate with or visit a Gentile. These guys had come from a vision from God, Cornelius' house, and they were Gentiles, and they sent these guys to Peter where he lived in another city and said, God's appeared to us and said, we want to hear what you have to say about anything. We don't know what it was. God had not told them. And he says, you're well aware that it's against our law for a Jew to associate with a Gentile. Everybody say, but God. See, you talking about prejudice. You talking about already writing somebody off. You talking about already saying that person, this. He says, but God has shown me that I should not call anyone impure or unclean. That means in your life, whoever you got in your life that you think is impure, unclean, God said, don't you call anybody impure and unclean. All people are candidates for the gospel. All people are candidates to be saved. Every man is ready to be saved. Every man's a potential brother. Every woman's a potential sister in the Lord. Every man, don't call. I remember we went to Times. We went to I forgot where we went. We went somewhere up north, and in New York, and we went to Jim Cymbala's church, and it's a great work of God, and it's right downtown Manhattan. And he's in that area where the you know, it's not very, at nighttime you got the night group, and it's, you know, a lot of homeless people, a lot of winos, and his church is built and filled with people off the streets that have been saved gloriously. And he talked about one Easter, he had a tremendous service, and so many had gotten saved. And he said at the end of the service, he was exhausted, and he sat down on the end of the platform and loosened his tie. And he said about 4 or 5 rows back, he saw this homeless man, and he looked about 50 years old, and his hair was matted down, you know, his clothes, you could tell, and he looks around, and all of his workers are counseling people at the altar, and so the guy was kind of like motioning, like, could I talk to you? And he said, just right off the bat, he said, here's what went through my heart. He said, how to end a great Sunday, he said. He said, I'm ashamed to admit it. He said, but I said, I was doing so great. Now this guy is going to hit me up. You know, he's a wino. He's going to hit me up for money. And he said, I motioned for the guy to come on and talk to me. And he said, when he got within 5 feet of me, he said, the smell like to knock me down. And he said, when he got up a little closer, he said, every time I inhaled, I turned my head sideways to inhale. And then I'd say something else. And before I would inhale again, I would turn my head the other way and inhale. And he said, so I said, what's your name? And he said, my name's David. And he said, David, where did you stay last night? He said, in an abandoned truck, found an abandoned truck. It was cold outside. It was Easter time in that part. And he said, when's the last time you had a bath? He said, about 6 months ago. He said, his two front teeth were missing. His hair, I said, how old are you, Dave? He said, 32. So he looked like he was 50 years old. So he said, I just quickly, you know, he tell you he had wino eyes, his eyes were just glazed over. And he just, I reached back in my back pocket, I kept some money back there. And he said, normally we don't do that. We give them something to eat, because all they do when you give them money is go back and buy some more wine. And he says, you know, we're not dumb, we know that. But he said, this morning I was tired, I just wanted to get this done with, get him out of here. So I reached my back pocket, and I had a $20 bill, and I just handed it to him. And he said, when I handed a $20 bill, he just pushed it away. He said, I don't want money. He said, I want that Jesus that you were talking about this morning. He said, in my heart, I'd been so prejudiced and so, you know, wrote him off as pure and unclean. He said, I began to cry. He said, not cry for the man. He said, I cried for myself that I was so hypocrite. He said, I was a hypocrite. And he said, I just began to cry. He said, I'm a hypocrite. And he said, when I did, David began to weep. And he said, and then we just wept till we couldn't weep anymore. He said, he fell on me. He said, I hugged him. He said, the odor went away immediately. I know in the natural that's a thing that happens, but he said, this was supernatural. And he said, it was like the sweetest smell I ever had. And he said, we wept there. And he said, David, I led him to the Lord. He gave his life to the Lord. Says, we found him a place to live. Then we gave him a job. Said, we put him on a maintenance staff. And we got his two front teeth fixed. He said he spent that Christmas, he spent at our house, invited him. He said he was in the hospital, put him in the hospital for 10 days to detox. He came out, he said he was handsome, he was a nice looking guy, washed and clean. And he said the next Easter he spent at our house. He said about a year and a half later he got up to give his testimony, and the Lord spoke to me, that's a preacher. He's now preaching in one of their satellites. Come on, somebody, he's now one of their pastors in their satellite. Good Lord, good clap. Isn't that good? You know, when you come to the place where God just breaks down prejudice and all that you had in your life. Ephesians chapter 5, here's what was our text. We're going to end with that this morning. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins. Notice how bad a condition we were in. But remember we talked about how when you use that word but, everything after the word but supersedes everything that was before the but. You're doing a good job, but we have to let you go. And so look at the picture. We were dead in our trespasses and sins. in which you formerly walked according to the course of the world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them we too all formerly lived in the lust of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And we were by nature the children of wrath, even as the rest. But God, being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in transgressions, made us alive together by Christ. You've been saved by grace. It says, and raised up with him, seated with him in heavenly places. Come on, somebody. So that in the ages to come, God's going to put you and show you off as objects of his grace. Here's what I can do. Is, you know, like David did, and we talked about that. Jim Cimbala talked about this man, David. He's an object, and he talks about God's going to do that to every one of us one day. Show us off one day that by his grace, but God, sometimes we just need to remind us about that, the goodness of God. Sometimes we need to know that because God is rich in mercy. It describes, it doesn't matter how bad you are this morning. Maybe you've never experienced it. It doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter how many times you failed. It doesn't matter how bad you smell. It doesn't matter anything about you. There's a God who can change your life. When you let those two little words enter into your life, yeah, I've been bad. Yeah, I've mistaken. Yeah, I've blown it. Yeah, I've been a deceiver. Yeah, I've done all that. But God, who is rich in mercy, with the love wherewith he loved us, he can save us. Listen, you can sum up your life this morning, but if you add but God to it, it will supersede everything that's gone on before in your life. I don't care if you've been with the Lord for a while and you've kind of backslidden, you've gotten angry at him, whatever it is. If you let those two little words enter into your life this morning, but, everybody say, but God with me. I want to show you a video I love. This is one of my favorite preachers and pastors ever was John Osteen. Not Joel Osteen. I'll leave that right there. This is John Osteen.
We'll be strong.
Wait. Don't even have to head it back there, boy. Come on. So this is John. And John Osteen, I think he's in his 70s or 80s at this point. And I want you to watch this because everybody say the goodness of God. God who is rich in mercy. And I love this. This is right before he's about to preach. And he's over in Houston, Texas. And John begins to talk a bit. Something just grabs him and he takes off. Watch, this is John Osteen.
The people who do know their God will be strong and do exploits. And I trust I'll get to my scripture here. But I tell you, I just made up my mind to hang loose and preach like the Holy Ghost wants me to preach on television. If you think I'm a little fanatical, you ought to get out here all the time. I'll tell you, we got something to jump and dance about. Glory be to God. You say, well, I tell you, I never saw anybody jump up and down like you did. Well, look at it again. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, I wonder now if somebody's not saying, now, I sure would be ashamed to be in that church. But let me tell you something, honey. I don't use that word very often. Let me tell you something, sweetheart. If you am going to heaven, you better learn to act like we're acting. Yes, hallelujah. Glory be to God. Listen, when we march through those gates of pearl, when we go down those golden streets, when we see the angels of God, when we begin to shout, mother, daddy, brother, sister, I tell you, we're going to dance and we're going to shout. Glory be to God. Oh, hallelujah. We got something to shout about. I said, we got something to shout about. We got something to shout about. We're on our way to heaven, and we got heaven in our heart. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, glory be to God. You know what brought this burst on? You know what brought this burst on? Talking about a good God.
Yeah.
I mean, you may have an old denominationalized God that you think joins your denomination and is dead as your denomination is, but I want you to know our God is alive,
yeah.
And he's a good God, and he loves you. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Oh, when I think about when we could all be on our way to hell, We could all be lost and undone without God. But God in his mercy, we didn't seek him, he sought us.
Yeah.
God in his mercy, he began to pull upon our heartstrings by the Holy Ghost. He began to say, come out, come out, come out of darkness, come out, come out of darkness. Oh, when I think of his mercy, when I think of how good he is, Jesus said, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you to go and bring forth fruit. When I think about how good God is, I know what the psalmist said, the Lord is good and his mercy endures forever and forever and forever and forever and forever and forever and forever. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. When I think about how he called me out of darkness, I didn't seek him, he sought me. Oh, I'll dance for him, I'll shout for him, I'll jump for him, I'll do anything for him. I'm a child of the living God. I belong to Jesus. I'm not ashamed in this town and across this nation and around the world to know that God is a good God. Yes. Yes. We go on record. Our God is a good God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Come on, everybody say amen. Isn't that great? Come on, stand up. This is a song. We were in Australia. I want you to just act like we're trying to do this with our music team, but we had too many people gone this week. But there's a song, when he's in Australia, there's a church down there called Victory, and it's pastored by a woman named Margaret Court. Anybody remember who Margaret Court was? You remember the tennis player Margaret Court? She won 64 Grand Slam. None of you play tennis. She's one of the greatest tennis players that ever lived. She pastors this church called Victory in and outside of Perth, Australia. And they wrote a song called But God. Everybody say, But God. But God. All right, they're going to lead us in worship. Act like it's our team leading in worship. Learn this song. We're going to sing it together. Watch this.
I'm a kiss to drown my father. I'm speaking out of time.
out to the Lord today. Everybody say amen today, would you? Hey, close your eyes just for a second. There's another little word that ignites this little two-word phrase, but God. And that is the word if. Just two letters, the word if. Because the Bible says, if you continue, if you give your life to Him, if you respond to the Lord, if. So really, the but God is not an automatic. You have to engage it. You have to want it. You have to be a part of it. You have to give your life. What does that mean, Pastor? It says, all that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That means everybody that calls on the name of the Lord is going to have a but God. I was going one way. I was this way. This has happened in my life. I was abused. I've been misused. I've been this and that. I didn't think God was for me. I didn't think I could have God. But when that happens and you choose God, well, then what happens is you have a but God moment where your life is completely changed. Your life is turned around. Scars will be there, absolutely, but the pain of the scars will be removed. And what was a trouble will become a testimony. It'll become what was a major problem will become a miracle in your life. And your misery will become your ministry. It's what you'll be used in God. And so this morning, if you're here and you have never had a but God moment in your life, maybe you're not saved and you need that for salvation. Maybe you're a Christian and you've gotten bitter or cynical or hard or you've backslidden. And if we summed up your life in the last month or 2 months or 6 months or year, or if you're not saved, but listen, put it all together and then put at the end of it, put but God. And everything will change. Everything after it will be supersede. It will supersede everything that came before but God. But God. So pray with me. Say, dear God, I need you in my life. Surrender it all again. I ask you to forgive me, to cleanse me. I thank you, Jesus, for dying in my place. And thank you for laying in that grave 3 days, but thank you most of all for rising from the dead. I ask you, Lord, to come into my life. I surrender it all in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Could you put your hands together one more time this morning? Come on. Lord, we love you. Lord, we love you. Turn around and give somebody a good hug this morning, would you? In Jesus' name.